This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
So, hey, listen, you know, we're in phase one of reopening. Everything's gravy. Everybody's enjoying themselves. The sun is shining. We're all good, right? Not so fast. I've had this feeling in my gut for the last little while, and I follow, maybe it's my own fault, I follow a lot of people in the science and medical community on social media right here based in Ontario that study the data, and a number of them, and I got to be truthful about it, have been critical of the Chief Medical Officer of Health, of the provincial government. A lot of them have been saying this opening that we're going through, this stage one, is way too soon. This is not something that is needed right now. But I kind of take that with a grain of salt, and I also understand that the government has an economic interest in it all, a business interest in it all. So I kind of weigh and balance that out. But my gut still feels like we're moving a little too quickly. Peel's Medical Officer of Health today. Now, Peel Region has been hit rather hard with COVID-19 in a number of cases. He came out today saying, listen, I'm not comfortable with how quickly all of this is going on. I think we really should take a step back. He gets the instinct, he gets the urge, but he's been saying, I think it's time to take a step back from it. Now, Dr. Abdul Sharkawi, who you've heard on this show multiple times, is an infectious disease specialist with Toronto's University Health Network, and he tweeted out today, and I'll read it to you. You can't find what you're not looking for. We open without testing and tracing adequately at your own peril. The influx of people in parks and picnic stands will become the influx to the ER a few weeks later. And he joins us to talk a little bit about that on The Rush this afternoon. Doctor, great to have you.
Pleasure to be back. Thanks for having me.
So you hear that tweet. I mean, it seems to make it pretty clear where you stand. You think it's too soon to be opening up society, no?
I think it's too soon to be opening up the way it's opening up. When I heard Premier Ford talk about curbside pickup for retailers, I think that was a very reasonable thing. When I now hear about, you know, park spaces opening up, and I hear about skateboard parks and, you know, all sorts of outdoor venues basically being left up to the discretion of whoever it is that's going to show up, I get very nervous, because I'm asking myself, who is going to enforce this exactly? Who is actually going to be out in these places determining whether it's a nuclear household that is on those premises? Who is going to enforce whether one family encroaches on the space of another? And the answer is no one, because I haven't heard of any sort of provisions being put in place to make sure that people are acting responsibly. And look, I don't want to take credit away from a lot of people who've been extremely patient, who've been very disciplined up to this point, and deserve a lot of credit for the sacrifices that they've made. And I get it. I've got three kids that are under the age of 10 who are driving myself and my wife ballistic because there's only a limit as to where they can go, what they can do. But I recognize that we're going to have to do this very thoughtfully and carefully. And I'm concerned that we've kind of opened up the floodgates here, that people are happy hearing this term. We flattened the curve. We're okay. You know, the hospital isn't flooded. The ICU isn't overwhelmed with people on ventilators. Well, guess what? That can change. It can change. You know, things came down to a dim hush in South Korea. They came down to a dim hush in Singapore, and they let their foot off the gas, and there was a resurgence of cases. We're not magically immune to that in Canada just because we're nice. We're polite as a community, and we're polite as a culture. We're still going to act in a way that either benefits everyone around us or is less responsible than it should be. And I'm very concerned that these measures are not enough and that we're opening up too soon. And I would bet anything that unless things change a bit in terms of what those enforcements are going to be, it's not a question as to how big the second wave is going to be. It's going to be how soon it's going to be as well. So,
Now, obviously, you're not the politician that's making these decisions, but I'd like to expand a little bit further on what you said. You basically said you were watching the rollout and hearing about curbside pickup and social distancing and saying, okay, that's great. This is the way that we should be doing it. This seems like the safe way to roll things out. Then all of a sudden, here we are today, and you're saying, wow, this is really happening very quickly. As the saying goes, that escalated quickly. And if we don't roll this back, we're going to see a surge in our ERs. Where was the disconnect? I mean, obviously, like I said, you're not working in government, but can you even put yourself in their place as to why they might have rolled this out this much quicker? Is it because it's inevitable that we're going to want to go out? Like, tell me more.
I think that's part of it. I think there's a sentiment out there that we want people to feel as though things are going to normalize, and we don't want people's pent-up frustration, their sense of, you know, anxiety, their sense of isolation to become too much for them to bear. And I get that. I empathize with that entirely. But if you're going to allow that to happen, you have to have some sort of structure to it. I love the way Mayor Tory opened up part of the lakeshore, and he made it impossible for vehicle traffic to go through. That's a constructive way to allow people to get out there and ride their bikes and go jogging and do what they need to. That's something that is being done to allow for people to sort of safely do what they need to do. But I don't know where that provision is when you're talking about parks and other venues in public. Otherwise, I haven't heard that. And the other part of it that you've probably heard, have been very vocal about, is if you're going to do any of this and you want to do it safely, the flip side of the coin is you have to make sure that you're keeping up with your testing capacity to ensure that all those people out there who are skateboarding or walking their dog or getting together in small groups know that they're COVID-19 negative. And we simply have not done that. In fact, the stats recently suggest we've started to go the other way. So that's deeply concerning for me. If we want to make sure we're capturing the right amount of people out there that are actually infected, we have to make sure we continue to expand our testing criteria. We need the funding behind the labs to do the job that they need to do. And I haven't heard from Premier Ford where that plan is. It needs to happen.
Doctor, you are one of the most respected infectious disease experts in this country. I know that because I've read your CV and I know all about you. And, you know, we've had you on the show multiple times at this point. I hate to ask you the tough question here, but it needs to be asked. The premier of this province has multiple times said he is making these decisions based on the advice of his medical experts that sit at the table and they brief us every single day just after 3 o'clock. Do we have the right people in place giving the right advice, given all you just said?
Well, I think that that's something that's going to have to be explored. I think when you look at provinces like BC and Alberta, where you've had very strong leadership from public health, I think that has translated into communities uptaking a message, doing it more consistently, doing it without a sense of resistance or a sense of ambiguity. There's been too much inconsistency in Ontario. There's been too much, I think, of a lag in response to a lot of things that are happening, and I think there is going to be some serious consideration if leadership needs to change, and I think it's something that probably shouldn't wait that much longer. You know, Premier Ford mentioned not all that long ago he wanted people to pull up their socks in the labs, you know, to make sure that we ramped up testing. Well, you know what? They're barefoot right now. They don't have any socks. So if you want people to pull up their socks, they need some resources, they need some leadership and direction to do it. And it's just not there right now.
So would you suggest that they perhaps bring in new people to make sure that this kind of thing is happening? I mean, I agree with you. We see the numbers every single day. It's a real head scratcher when the premier of the province says we have capacity to do 19,000, 20,000 tests, and a paltry 5,000 tests look like they've been done, and you still have a backlog.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, there is a void in our leadership process right now, and it's unfortunate, and it's not a new situation, and unfortunately, it's costing lives.
When it comes to the second wave you mentioned, and I hope to God that we never have to get to that point, but, you know, let's be honest, that's one of the cards on the table. Will the shutdown, what would that look like if we had to shut society down all over again? Would it even be more severe?
I think it would be, you know, because I think you start to see situations arise where people become very frustrated, and then there's this sense of relief where they might start to do things they wouldn't ordinarily do under regular circumstances. So people might get together and throw parties, for example. People might do things that are not very responsible, and you end up in this situation where a super spreader scenario could happen, just like it did in South Korea early in their pandemic, where one person was believed to have caused thousands of infections, if you can imagine that. I mean, it seems movie-like. It seems not conscionable that that can happen, but it can. And that's my big fear here, is that we're going to see something like that, and we're going to have to double down. So people are frustrated now about their freedoms being restricted. Well, we could be looking at something that approximates martial law, you know, if we have to double down on our restrictions to get things back to a place where we need to be with a second wave. I'm not looking forward to that. I don't think anybody wants to look forward to that. And so we need to make the changes now to make sure our testing is in place and the measures we're taking to opening up are being done safely with appropriate oversight and supervision. And I'm very concerned that that's not happening.
The transportation minister today making the recommendation that if you're on transit, you should be wearing a mask. And that's something the transit union is supporting. We're hearing from the premier, if you can't social distance. We're hearing from the mayor, if you can't social distance, you should be wearing a mask. Should we just jump a couple of steps ahead and just make it mandatory that you wear a mask all the time as soon as you leave your house?
Well, you know, there's legal issues around that. And I think that there's a big cultural issue around whether our society will absorb that message and will adhere to it. But that being said, in countries around the world that have done this very successfully, it has had an impact. And there is more than enough epidemiologic evidence out there to suggest that this is just not a coincidental thing, and that it's part of an overarching strategy that everyone wants to buy into as many layers as possible for protection. If it were up to me, would I make it mandatory? Sure. Quite honestly, I would, because I think that when you leave this gray area up to people to say, if then, more often than not, people are just going to say, nah, I don't have to, so why should I? And that's a problem. Whereas if you say it's really important and it's to the detriment potentially of everyone around you, unless you're wearing a mask in public places where you could be near somebody else, I think the likelihood of the benefit happening is far, far higher.
Doctor, we appreciate the insight today and the perspective, because I think it is much needed when we tend to get a lot of information that seems to be going the other way. It's sobering to hear somebody on the front lines speaking quite differently from what we're hearing from officials today. Thank you for taking the time.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Abdu Sharkawi, who is an infectious disease specialist with Toronto's University Health Network. A couple of things there, Jay, as we have a couple minutes before the mayor, that I found quite sobering. You know, the officials that are doing things right now, are they getting it right? In his opinion, it does not seem to be the case. When I talk about officials, I'm talking about those in the medical community that are advising government. Just because they're the ones that are in charge and making the calls doesn't mean they're right about those calls. You know, do we question a little bit of their motivation behind making these calls to open the world up, or our world up, at least our little piece of it and slice of it? I think when you listen to a guy like that who's on the front lines, who knows of what he speaks, you would do yourself a disservice not to listen to what that man just said.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.